me ask you a question. If you were in South Carolina this morning, would you be a little more desperate for God? We are so blessed living where we do. And yet there are people this morning who are struggling. Water has basically risen to levels that are at a 1,000-year level. People have lost everything that they've owned. And yet they're willing to rebuild. And the thing that I see on TV and the newscasts are that though they have lost the things of this world, they have not lost hope. Because they have a belief in God. Now, there's also some other people that have been grieving this week and going through some very tumultuous times, and that's the parents of students of NAU. Right here, just 80 miles away from us. Senseless shooting. And not just there, but up in Oregon, they're finally dealing with the journey of grief at the loss of those students who, this is one thing that you've got to just really be proud about, is that when they were asked if they were a Christian, they wholeheartedly said, yes, I am. And before that, or right after they said that, and the shooter said, well, then prepare to meet your maker. And those he shot execution-wise, making sure that they would be dead. Others that would not proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, he wounded. As if saying in his actions, you know what, you're going to hurt, but I'm still going to give you time to get that worked out between you and God. And there are a lot of people up in Oregon traumatized by what's going on. You may have issues in your life that you're feeling traumatized about this morning. I don't know about all those issues, but we have a Heavenly Father that does. And you're not alone, because God is always with you. He never forsakes you. This week I had an opportunity afforded to me by our neighbors. We lost one of our neighbors, Jesse Marino is his name, and he had cancer, brain cancer. And that cancer took him in 6 months. And his family came over to see me on Wednesday and said, you know, you used to talk with Jesse on your way into church, you know, and things. And I did. I stopped by there a lot of times to ask him to, hey, just, you don't even have to gas up your Jeep, man. Just walk across the street and visit us. And to no avail, Jesse loved the Lord, but he just had a problem with religions. And I totally agreed with him. I said, yeah, I do too. I have a problem with religion, but I don't have a problem with relationship with God. And he said, no. I don't either. And I thank you that you think that same way. I said, but I'd still like you to come to church. I said, because I'd just like to get to know you and fellowship with you and get to love on the Lord together even more. So yesterday I got to comfort their family in a funeral service. While we were there, the neighbors right across our driveway, the Lorettes, who used to attend here years ago, got news that a family member of theirs died in a car accident. And so they immediately got up and left the funeral home. So we got a lot of grief issues going on between South Carolina, Oregon, Flagstaff, right here in our own neighborhood. One of the things that it did for me this week was it helped to convince me that our neighborhood would know a difference if we weren't here. And in fact, yesterday at the women's tea and testimonies, while Suzanne was in the middle of doing their program and having eats and things, a couple came in and the man was asking for a minister to talk with, and my wife said, well, he's not here, he's busy doing a funeral. And so she says, I'll be with you in just a minute. Well, it just so happened that this was a couple that were in a little bit of dire straits and needed to get down to the valley. They didn't have any gas. And so my wife, inspired by the Holy Spirit, number one, invited the couple in. And the ladies, before they even gave them any money for gas, did what was necessary even before that. They prayed over them. They prayed for them. Prayer is such a powerful tool. And it's what people need to grasp a hold of. How many of us kind of use prayer for the last ditch effort? Instead of it being our first response to when things come our way. Oh man, I mean things happen in our life and they come at us quickly, and what do? We panic, we start, you know, oh well, how can I fix this? How can I go about this? What can I do? What kind of funds do I have to take care of this? And we get ourselves all worked up. And then we realize, we finally come to the end of ourselves and go, you know what, there's absolutely not enough money in the bank. There's not enough knowledge in my mind to be able to take care of this problem. God, please help me. And those are some of the simplest prayers, but they're very powerful. Because what is it declaring? It's declaring, I, in myself, am incapable of dealing with it. Yeah, my tongue got a little twisted up there. I'm incapable of dealing with this, but I know in my heart and in my mind that there is a God who is greater than me and my needs. And he is much wiser, praise God. And he's much richer. I mean, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There is no end to his abundance of wealth. There is no end of his wisdom. We don't even come close. What do scientists say that we use, like, what, 10% of our brain? What? My wife says, well, you do sometimes. Yeah, I can say that about her because she's down teaching the kids right now. Yeah. Last week, I gave y'all a homework assignment, and it was on this ticket of admission. And for those of you who have your homework, I'm very proud of you that you would take the time to go through these 8 steps of repentance. For those of you who have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, I would entreat you to ask Shirley to give you a copy of this ticket of admission, because also on the back of it is the next 4 weeks of sermon series about what we're talking about or what I'm talking about, what you're listening to, which today is He's Listening, is the title of the message. He's listening. I remember in the old days, we used to see these advertisements on television where the wife was usually over there eating her toast and drinking her coffee or her tea, and the husband was over there with the paper, right? Today, that has evolved. Now, I see couples in restaurants. No lie, I have seen this with my very own eyes. Young couple sitting just 2.5 feet away from each other. What happened to communication? We have gotten so electronically minded. We are so into these devices that they even have a new disease that they're coming out with about kids' thumbs, that they're physically being harmed by doing this all day long. And it's not just in messages. I mean, they're playing games on that thing and everything. You know, it goes beyond me. But what we are losing in our society, what we are losing socially, is a skill of listening. Too many of us, we think that we're hearing the words that are coming out of people's mouths. And we're doing that, but that is not listening. Listening is going beyond the words, and right now all the men are going, I'm checked out. Dude, if I can't just trust the words that are coming out of the mouth, don't get me into all this background stuff that I got to try to be thinking about. You know, but yeah, guys, we do. We've got to not just listen to the words that are coming out of our wives and our children's mouths. We've got to think of, okay, where is this spawning from? Where is it coming out of? What fountain of hurt or miscommunication is this being delivered to me out of? And we don't listen to people anymore. We don't take time to. Everybody's too busy. One of the things that at this funeral yesterday is one of his friends that had known Jesse, they grew up in Mayer, and Mayer is a very close-knit community. And Jesse was a very prominent part sports figure in Mayer. And his friend said, you know, we played football together and other sports. He says, but the only way I really kept up with Jesse anymore was by Facebook. And as he stood in front of these friends and family that were there, he goes, you know, I really miss the days that I just sat down with Jesse and visited with him. And in that same way, God is desirous of us to just sit down, to quiet ourselves and have a conversation with Him where we will take part in listening as well as just telling God every news story that we know about our life. And honestly, if you think about it, doesn't God already know what's going on with you? So why don't we take the time then to just sit down and listen to Him and glean from Him the wisdom that He could impart to us. I really liked one of Dan's granddaughters came up to me right before service. We're out by the playground, and she came up and she says, Pastor Don. I said, yeah, honey. She says, do you know what to speak every Sunday? And I just looked at her. I said, what a brilliant question. I said, well, the answer to that very, very insightful question, very deep question, is this. I spend time with God. And I try to listen to what it is that He wants to speak to Mountain Valley Church. Not just my pet subjects or topics that I want to talk about, but what does God want to speak to us this morning? Nehemiah was presented with the problem that Jerusalem was in rubble. The walls were torn down. The gates had been burnt. And when he heard this news, and it comes to our passage today out of Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. It's inside your bulletin if you'd like to follow along, or it's up here on the wall. It's right here on my outline. So let's just all read this together and see what Nehemiah's reaction to this news that Jerusalem was found in such a state that the 50,000 exiles who had returned there had a great fear in being there. And this is his reaction. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying day and night for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants, O Lord. Please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Let's read that last sentence again. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Loving Heavenly Father, this morning, we would ask that you would listen to the prayers that we who are obedient to you, we who bring honor to you, bring before you. We want to be your people and we want to be a blessing to you, Father. We also want to hear from you and have that relationship that is never broken. Father, help us in this. Empower us by your Spirit living within us to be the people you want us to be, in Jesus' name. So your first fill-in is this. Pray when you know something must be done. You see, this problem was presented to Nehemiah. And what did he do? He sat down, he wept, mourned, fasted, and prayed to God of heaven. Pray when you know that something must be done. Too many of us, we do it backwards. We have a situation presented to us, and we start to react to it immediately rather than, okay, this thing is presented to me. Now, Lord, What must I do in this? How should I react? What should I do towards this situation? You know, we would probably keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble if we would first seek God in all of our decisions. And you're going, what? All of our decisions? Yeah, all of our decisions. You know, I even ask God at times when, you know, I know my wife is busy and I don't just want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich from home, you know, which is like my forte. You know, it's what I can do. But I ask God, God, where do you want me to go eat today? Where do you have an appointment ready for me to not only go in and satisfy the little grumbly in my stomach, but where do you want me to go that I can be a blessing to you and maybe find somebody that you've got an appointment with me to intersect with their life? And God will direct me. He has many times. It's like my mind's thinking, go to Culver's, dude. Those burgers are killer. Oh, no, but I don't want to get you thinking about food. Never mind. But pray when you know something must be done. Nehemiah knew there had to be something done about this. But then here's the second part. Pray when you know something must be done and you know you are incapable of doing it. You see, God does give us some kind of sense. For me, a lot of it's nonsense. But he does give us a sense. We're educated people. We know how some things should go, and you know, but some things come across our plate that we just don't know how to handle. So pray. You know something should be done, so give it to the Lord. And I ask that question, how many options do we try before asking God? How many options do we go through? Oh, we'll call up our girlfriend. We'll text somebody. We'll throw it out there. Maybe we'll talk to somebody face to face, rarely, but it does happen. And we'll bring up, you know, hey, man, there's a situation I got going on. I was wondering, you know, man, have you ever come across anything like this? And they go, no, we better pray. And you go, oh, man. So pray when you know something must be done and you know you are incapable of doing it. Don't make it your last option. Make it your first option. Secondly, there are three ingredients of Nehemiah's prayers. And those ingredients are these. Number one, praising God for his power and love. He praises God for his power and love. Oh, Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and unfailing love with those who love and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying day and night. Now, when I read that passage, wow. I felt such conviction. Look down and see me praying day and night for your people, Israel. That broke my heart as a pastor. Do I pray day and night for my church? I'm sorry to say no. I pray for you. Don't take me wrong. But to see the fervor of Nehemiah, he's praying day and night. You know, if I went into an all-night session, you know what I'd be afraid of? About an hour into it, Suzanne would probably be coming in going, yo, you alive in there?
Oh, yeah, I was praying. You interrupted, you know?
Wow. What about you? Does that hit you? Have you ever prayed day and night for anything? Besides that shiny bicycle for Christmas, I mean, you know. Have you ever prayed day and night for a nation? And that's what we're asking you to do during this one cry, prayer for spiritual awakening and revival in America. Folks, if we don't need it, there's no greater time that this nation needs our fervent prayers than now. How many more shootings do we have to hear about? How many more yuck? This nation needs a spiritual awakening. It needs a revival. It needs to come back to God. It is one nation under God, indivisible. Do you connect with the people in South Carolina? I mean, I see the stuff that they're going through, and I'm going, wow, Lord, you have raised up some strong people there. And don't you love the community spirit of how they come around and try to help each other? So, three ingredients of Nehemiah's prayers. Praise God for his power and love. Number two, confessing the nation's sins. Yeah. Lord, our nation's in a whole lot of trouble. And it's a very sinful nation. Confess those sins. And number three, calling on God to act. Calling on God to act. It's outside of my realm. It's outside of your realm. It's outside of the realm of this church to actually change this nation the way that it needs to be changed. But it is not outside of the realm of God. So let's call out to the one that we know could fix this nation. No one person can actually have all the answers except Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can help right the ship of this nation back to the moral nature that it should have instead of the moral cesspool that we are becoming more and more alike. Thirdly, Nehemiah was convinced that God would restore his people if they repent. Nehemiah was convinced that God would restore his people if they would repent. Right? So then the question comes, are you convinced that our nation is in such a dire state? Wow, my tongue's messed up this morning. And the only way for it to be saved is by a spiritual awakening through repentance. Are you convinced of that? I am. And I know that I've been questioned about that. You know, are you really convinced that God could do anything? And my answer is, oh yeah. My God is mighty. My God is power. My God is strength. He is the rock. My God who created all this by just speaking it into creation can speak health and healing to this nation. But we've got to cry out for him to act because we don't know how to act. And my wife goes, amen. So, here are the ingredients. I'm going to give you a great recipe this morning. Here are the ingredients for successful prayer. It includes, be instant. Be instant in prayer. Don't make it the last option. Make it the first option. When things are overwhelming you, go to God in prayer instantly. Be repentant. Man, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I blow it a lot. Wait a minute, you're their pastor. You know, how can we go any farther if you're out there blowing it? Well, you know what? I blow it, but then I get things right with God immediately. I don't let it keep going on for days and days and days and days. I know when I have failed, just like you know it. But my response is to respond to it by asking God to forgive me and help set me straight, to give me some truth from his word that next time that temptation comes along, I can stand up on the power of God's word. So, I'm instant. Be repentant. Be word-based. Have a scripture that talks to that temptation that you are dealing with. Because now you are employing the power of God's word, and God is always true to his word. Amen? Be God glorifying. God, I want you to be glorified in my life. Be surrendered. And lastly, be persistent. Be like that widow going before the judge. I have been treated wrongly, and I need this to be fixed. And I'm going to keep coming back to you until it is, because you are the righteous judge. Only you can truly fix what's going on. Be persistent. I persisted in prayer for some people in my life that I know and I love for years. And I know Sharon has as well. And I know many of you others who love and care about certain folk. Be persistent in your prayers for them. Don't give up. God is a God of hope. Amen? So, y'all wanted to know, I had some people ask me this morning, well, Pastor, we did this homework. We did this tick of admission. We went through these steps of repentance, and we took those papers, and Lord, Pastor, what do we do with them today? And I said, I asked you to bring in that homework. You know what this is? This is a fire pit. Bring your homework and set it in there. And later, I can't do it in here because of fire regulations. Sorry, the fireman in me just says, no, no, no. Or the past fireman in me. Anyway, bring your homework, set it here, and we're going to torch it. We're going to burn it up because, as Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. You've taken that time, you've done that homework to repent of all those 8 different areas. Now let him go and accept the forgiveness that God has given you. If you've repented of it, then you take that forgiveness and you let go of that sin. Throw it in. Could we have a little throw down the homework to be burned music? I don't know, something like light the fire in me or something. I don't know. You know what I love about God is that he's always listening. He's always there. There's never a busy signal. There's never a time when he will totally turn you away and say, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to deal with that. Instead, God is always attentive, not just to our prayers. You know, this is the thing that I like to dislike about God. If you can bear with me on that. I like that he listens to my prayers. What I dislike is that he really knows what's going on in my heart. Ugh. You know, and he truly knows me better than I know myself. And so, though I ask for these things, God is really dealing with who I am as a person. What really is my character about? God knows me so well. For as Psalm 139 says, he knit you together in the womb. Before one day began, God knows all your days. surrender them to Him. God bless you who have done your homework. And again, leave those sins here. Don't pick them up. Leave them at the cross and be done with them. And find scriptures to help you out in those areas that you are weak in. And use word-based strength to help you be the overcomer that God truly wants you to be. Who are the people that God prayed would be blessed by God? Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you, Lord. Lord, we are a people who delight in honoring you.